Welcome to this week's edition of Flashback Friday. It's your opportunity to get some good review by listening to episodes from the past that Kevin has handpicked to help you along your investment journey. If you'd like to partner with Kevin and join his team at Sunrise Capital Investors, head to investwithsunrise.com to learn more. That's investwithsunrise.com. Enjoy the show.
You've been searching for the best way to generate passive income in your life and heard that real estate is a great way to do it. But you're tired of all the so-called gurus who are all talk and no substance. Get ready to celebrate because Kevin Bupp has spent 14 years successfully making it happen. This is the Real Estate Investing for Cash Flow podcast. Now, here's Kevin Bupp.
Hey guys, Kevin Bupp here, and I want to welcome you to another episode of the Real Estate Investing for Cash Flow podcast, where our mission is to help you build and maintain massive amounts of cash flow through income-producing real estate investments. And our guest for this week's show is real estate and land investment expert, Mark Podolsky. Now, Mark is the owner of Frontier Properties, which is a very reputable and successful land investing company, and he has been buying and selling land full-time since 2001. Now, by focusing on working smart, not hard, he has completed over 5,500 land deals with an average ROI of over 300% on cash flips and over 100% on the deals he sells on terms. Additionally, Mark is a published author and hosts a successful podcast titled The Art of Passive Income. And so, guys, I'm excited to get onto the show with Mark. But before we do, just have a few quick housekeeping items to run through. First off, just want to remind you of how to get a free copy of my recently released best-selling book, The Cash Flow Investor, How to Create Financial Freedom Investing in Commercial Real Estate. I released the book in print form a few months ago, and it's for sale on Amazon. You can go grab a copy for $20, but if you'd like to save a few bucks, I'm actually making a free PDF version available to my loyal cash flow tribe here. And you can go over to kevinbupp.com/free book. Again, kevinbupp.com/free book. Moving on here, I mentioned last week, we go through ebbs and flows with deal flow, we're staying really busy over here at Sunrise Capital Investors. And I always get, emails, people inquiring about, what's going on, what are you guys up to, still doing deals. And absolutely, I'm a firm believer that you can do deals in good times, you can do deals in bad times, no matter what you believe at this present moment, or whether we're in a recession or we're not, there's always opportunities to be had. In fact, I've seen our deal flow kick up quite a bit over this last month. And just got back from a trip up to DC, doing due diligence on a Class A parking asset that we have in one of the hottest neighborhoods there in DC. That was sourced off market, direct to owner, like we like to do. And very excited about that opportunity, but also have about $60 million of other assets currently under contract, both parking lots and garages and mobile home parks. So again, deal flow has taken a turn for the better here just over the last couple of months, and just got a lot of opportunities coming our way. And so, guys, if you want to take a look at, kind of what we have as far as offerings and potentially partnering with us, go over to investwithsunrise.com. Again, that's investwithsunrise.com. And then lastly here, just one other thing I want to make mention of, we've been doing mobile home parks and parking, parking assets for many, many years, mobile home parks for, nearly a decade now, or a little over a decade. But we also just recently launched a build to rent fund. And so we've got some development projects happening in some of the hottest neighborhoods in Phoenix. If you want to learn again about whether it's parking lots or mobile home parks, or even our build to rent fund, you can go over to investwithsunrise.com again to learn more about all the opportunities and offerings that we have available. And so now with that, guys, I'd like to welcome back a repeat guest. I think definitely we've had him on one other time, maybe even two. I'd have to go back. It's been, 8.5 years since I've been doing this show. And so sometimes things just kind of blend together. Years kind of blend together. So with that, I'd love to welcome back my good friend, Mark Podolsky. Mark, how you doing, my friend?
Kevin Bupp, what's up, brother? So good to see you again. And, in the introduction, not to nitpick, but our average ROI is 300% to 1,000%.
Well, then you need to update your website or wherever I got that from. It was somewhere. I put it off one of your sites. So just tell your team, go give them a little smack. So, but that's awesome. I love it.
No worries.
No. Excited to have you back, my friend. Really appreciate you coming on the show here. And would love to, if we could, Mark, you know, you've been podcasting, you've been writing books for, you know, a long, long time. In fact, I like to say that I'm one of the OGs of the podcasting world, because I started my show back in 2014, but you started your very first show even before that. And so back again, I always like to joke and say, like, back before people even knew what a podcast was, right? Except right, you and I.
Exactly.
We knew what it was. We knew what it was.
Yeah.
But Mark, take a few minutes and tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself and what it is you do.
Yeah, I'm a professional land investor, and I basically take a piece of raw land and I make it cash flow like a rental home, all in the goal of solving time and money problems. So I can always make more money. I can't get more time. And, you know, you and I are obviously, you know, singing from the same song sheet when it comes to passive income. And I absolutely love what you do. But I think that the land investing model for me is just very headache free. Mm-hmm. So I get this one time sale, and then I get passive income every single month on a piece of raw land without renters, rehabs, renovations, or rodents. And because I'm not dealing with a tenant, I'm exempt from Dodd-Frank, RESPA, and the SAFE Act. So it's a simple game that I like to teach people, which is, when you have created enough land notes, then your passive income exceeds your fixed expenses, and then you're totally free. You can work when you want, where you want, and with whom you want, move up Maslow's hierarchy of needs into self-actualization, and really have the time and the freedom to pursue what you really are meant to do in life.
Mm-hmm. No, I love every bit of it. And what I love is, if you could just, let's break it down a little bit more than that. You know, we talk about raw land. Let's give some context around, are these, you know, small tracts of land? Are these big swaths of land? Are they, you know, in densely populated markets? Are they out in the middle of rural locations? Just give some more context, if you would.
Sure. I mean, it's been a while since I've walked through the model, Kevin. If you want me to just walk you, you know, step by step through the
Please
model,
do.
I can do that.
Please
so
do.
Kevin, where do you live right now?
Tampa, Florida.
You're in Tampa. Okay. My partner, Scott Todd's in Tampa. Love the Columbia. Anyways, I'm going to assume that you own 5 acres of raw land where I live in Arizona, and you owe, say, $200 in back taxes. So you're essentially advertising two important things. Number one, you have no emotional attachment to raw land. You're in beautiful Tampa Bay, Florida, properties in Arizona. And number two, you're distressed financially in some weird way, because we don't pay for things like our property taxes. We don't value them in the same way. And as a result, the county treasurer keeps sending you notices saying, Kevin, if you don't pay your taxes, you're going to lose that property to a tax deed or a tax lien investor. So all you're going to do, or all I'm going to do, is look at the comparable sales on your 5 acre parcel for the last 12 to 18 months. I'm going to take the lowest comparable sale. Let's say it's $10,000, and divide by four. And that's going to get me what Warren Buffett would call a 300% margin of safety. So I sent you an actual offer of $2,500. Mm-hmm. Now, Kevin, you accept it. Why? Because for you, $2,500 is better than nothing. In reality, 3 to 5% of people will accept my quote unquote top dollar offer. But now that you've accepted it, I have to go through due diligence or in-depth research. I have to confirm you still own the property. I have to confirm that back taxes are only $200. I have to make sure there's been no breaks in the chain of title, no liens or encumbrances. I want to know what, you know, what restrictions are there. So I have this whole long due diligence checklist. And because I'm so ambitiously lazy, I outsource that to my team in the Philippines. I pay about $11 for that due diligence. They're connected to an American title company. And as they're doing due diligence, they're getting me the aerial maps. They're getting me plat maps, satellite maps, GIS maps, everything that I'm going to need for my buyer as well. So now if it's $5,000 more, I'm not going to take any title risk. I'll just go traditionally through a title company. Mm-hmm. But this is $2,500. My team can do it. Everything checks out. I send you a check for $2,300. I send the treasurer a check for $200. I own it free and clear. Now, Kevin, I'm going to sell it 30 days or less. And I'm going to make a cash flow. So do you remember I have a built-in best buyer? Do you know who it is?
Who's that?
The neighbors.
There you go.
So I'm going to send out those neighbor letters saying, hey, here's your opportunity. Protect your privacy. Protect your views. Know your neighbor. So oftentimes the neighbors will buy. Now, if the buyers pass, I'll go to my buyers list. The buyers list passes, I'll go to a little website I'm sure you've heard of. It's called Craigslist, the 15th most trafficked website in the United States. And then I'll go to another one I know you've heard of called Meta or Facebook, mm-hmm. buy sell groups in the marketplace. And then I'll go to the lands, landmodo.com, landandfarm.com, landsofamerica.com, landflip.com, landhub.com. These are platforms for people buy and sell raw land. But the magic is in the pricing. So Kevin, all I'm going to ask for is a $2,500 down payment for someone to control that 5-acre parcel you used to own. And then I just make it a car payment. Let's say $297 a month and 9% interest over the next 84 months. So I got this one-time sale. I'm going to get my capital out on the down payment. I could go 6 to 10 months out. And then I'm going to get $297 a month of passive income at 9% interest in the next 84 months. No renters, mm-hmm. no rehabs, no renovations, no rodents. And then it's a simple game that you'll play. Can you create enough land nodes where your passive income exceeds your fixed expenses? And then you're working because you want to, not because you have to.
Hey guys, Kevin Bupp here, and I've got a special announcement I wanted to share with you. And knowing that your time is precious, I promise I'll get you back to the show in just a few short minutes. Now, as you are hopefully already well aware, if you've been a listener for any period of time, my goal has always been to provide you with as much value as possible through my two podcasts, Real Estate Investing for Cashflow and the Mobile Home Park Investing Podcast. And as our audience continues to grow, I've had thousands of people reach out looking to get involved in our two investment niches, mobile home parks and parking lots. For those that don't know, I've been a full-time real estate investor for more than 2 decades now and have personally invested in and owned apartment complexes, many different types of commercial properties, hundreds of single-family rentals, and have interviewed some of the most successful investors in just about every other asset class. And I've arrived at this one very simple conclusion. Mobile home parks and parking lots are hands down the best investment vehicles that I've found to date. You might ask why? Well, they provide investors with the best risk-adjusted returns out of any real estate sector that I've seen. Investing in real estate can get complicated, and I really want to simplify that process for you. If you're someone who wants to diversify away from the uncertainty of Wall Street and allocate a percentage of your investments to real estate, but don't have the time nor the inclination to personally locate good deals yourself, then our team will do it for you. At Sunrise Capital Investors, our team specializes in the acquisition and management of undervalued and highly profitable mobile home parks and parking lots. And we are now providing accredited investors with an opportunity to participate directly alongside our team in our up-and-coming deals. And let me say this, we are hands down the best in our space at sourcing highly profitable off-market deals. That's what really makes us unique in this niche and as investment managers. As stewards of your capital, we are truly aligned with our investors. We've structured our investment fund so that we as a company are incentivized in the same way that the investor is, which is through the performance of the investment itself. In addition, we want to make sure that we not only make money for our investors, but that they understand how it's being made. That's why we provide our accredited partners with a private monthly podcast that walks them through detailed updates on how their investment is performing. And we're very transparent, providing you with the good, the bad, and the ugly at times. If you'd like to learn more about partnership opportunities with our team here at Sunrise, please visit us at investwithsunrise.com. Again, that's investwithsunrise.com. And there you'll be able to get access to our most current offerings. And with that, I'd like to leave you with one last thought. From the time I wake up in the morning till the time I lay my head down the rest of the evening, my number one priority with everything I do, whether it be recording this podcast, working for our investors, or helping each of you reach your investment goals, to providing a great experience to each of our residents who reside in our communities, is to add huge amounts of value to everyone I come in contact with. With that being said, I look forward to the opportunity of bringing value to you through Sunrise and through this podcast. Thank you for your time. Now, let's get back to the show. Is there ever any concern or risk, or how would you mitigate the risk related to any environmental contamination, right? Do you get, I'm assuming you probably don't get phase ones done on that cost of, you know, of a piece of dirt, but there's obviously some risk there as well.
Absolutely. So number one is, you know, our geographic market location. Mm-hmm. So we avoid Ohio, Pennsylvania, anything in the industrial belt at all. So now, even still, in our due diligence checklist, there's a website that they always have to go to and show us that they've done it. It's epa.gov. And that EPA.gov will show us where those Superfund sites are. Mm-hmm. So because we're buying rural land, it's, you know, I've been doing this since 2000. I've never had an environmental issue.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, I mean, these are, again, you know, speaking to rural pieces of land, and then, you know, utilizing the EPA site, you can mitigate the majority of the risk there, just to ensure there's nothing close by or nearby. How about, you know, who is the end buyer? You know, what are they looking to do with this piece of property? Again, just to kind of paint the picture, this five acre, you know, piece of land, I'm guessing, just based on some of the details you shared, is in a very rural area, maybe minimal development. I mean, this isn't like a 5 acre tract of land surrounded by subdivisions per se. And so, you know, who was that original seller? And then ultimately, who is that buyer? What's that buyer looking to do with that parcel of land?
Yeah. So that original seller had a dream for that property, mm-hmm. and then life got in the way.
Got it.
And now the buyer has a new dream and they want to take over from that seller, mm-hmm. and they can afford it. They have a job, they can afford it. So our typical avatar is going to be somebody that has a dream of a legacy. So they grew up hearing buy land, and that old Ted Turner quote, buy land is the only thing that lasts, mm-hmm. right? So it's the one asset that's going to outlive all of us, and it lasts forever. So I would say legacy investors are probably the majority of the group of people that are buying it. But then you've got people who don't like people. They just want to be out in the country. You've got people who want to take their family out camping and recreational property. They want to go hunting or fishing or hiking along some rural area. You know, they like the idea there's no cell tower. Like, sorry, kids, no service here.
Yeah,
type of thing. So I would say that's the majority of our buyers. If somebody calls us and says, hey, I want to build my dream home out there, and you're 30 minutes from services, then we will tell them, no, this is not ready for prime time. You want to be somewhere closer into the city to do that.
When you're building out this, you know, the target list that you're going to either send a direct mail piece to or cold call, however you do your initial marketing outreach, is there a filter? I mean, you know, no smaller than 2 acres in size, no larger than a 100 acre tract of land, delinquent taxes, no greater than X amount of dollars. What do those filters look like?
Yeah. I mean, you're going to laugh, but my filter is basically, can I buy this 25, 30 cents on the dollar?
Okay.
Because if I can get that asset 25, 30 cents on the dollar, I know that there's someone else on the other end of that deal. I'm making my money at that point in time. And because our hold time is so short, I don't need to have, I mean, due diligence will take care of all of the rest if there's any issues.
How do you make a determination whether or not you just wholesale this for, you know, just flip it for cash or carry terms on it? How do you make that determination?
Well, I mean, personally, like Frontier Properties, mm-hmm. we only retail now and we try only to sell for terms. I'd rather have cash flow than cash.
Okay.
So, but I would say our clients, that will be sort of determined by their own capital needs.
Okay.
So oftentimes they will just want to flip for cash because they've got a holiday coming up and they want some quick cash. It's kind of dependent on what they personally want to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say long-term though, the majority of the people that are, you know, in this niche, they want that long-term cash flow that's going to provide them that freedom that we talked about. But there are going to be people that are capital constrained and they will start out flipping land to build their capital so that they can go in and then have and start doing, you know, smaller mm-hmm. cash, you know, terms deals to do that.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Is it difficult to find comps on these rural tracts of land?
It absolutely is. That's yeah. the horrible thing about this business and the amazing thing about this business. It's so inefficient. So it's truly what a buyer and a seller agree to.
Mm-hmm. Got it. I love case studies, you know, just so we can, again, you know, visualize, you know, a standard or not a standard trend, but just a, you know, what a transaction might look like or has looked like for either you or, you know, one of your students. Would you mind sharing again, just kind of, you know, how the opportunity was found, just some general, you know, keynotes of how large it was, what was, you know, what they paid for it. And then did they sell for terms? What did those terms look like?
Yeah, absolutely. So I just had a client email this to me. He wrote, biggest sale yet. This was like a week ago. Hey guys, I just want to update you on a big win. Less than a month ago, I bought 4 adjacent 1-acre properties from a family of 4 brothers. I bought each lot for $2,000, $8,000 total. I just received the dock fee, $375, from a lady who is buying all 4 of them on terms for $60,000 and a $5,000 down payment. This will be roughly $800 a month in passive income for the next 72 months. This is close to an 8x gain on my capital investment, and I'll take this deal all day long, every day. And then he kind of talks about how he's, you know, he's doing, but
love it.
Yeah, that's a recent case study.
And so, you know, how many letters are, you know, again, I'm assuming you're using direct mail. Is that predominantly the method that these leads are being derived from?
Yeah, absolutely. So,
okay.
You're absolutely right. So we use a software program called lgpass.com. Mm-hmm. So we upload the list, and then we use a mailing house that will, I think it's like 67 cents for first class mail.
Mail's getting expensive nowadays, isn't it?
I know it's getting expensive, but they'll do address verification.
Yeah.
And so that'll save you some money as well. So it automates that process, and then you kind of can see what your response rate is from that mailing.
I'm assuming because oftentimes you guys have
screwed up.
Yeah, you've honed in this business model. I'm talking about like your company, Frontier Property. So like what, you know, what's a standard response rate from a, you know, direct mail piece that you put out?
3-5%. So
if
my response rate's over 5%, I might be too high for the market and may need to retrade and renegotiate with the seller. If it's under 3%, the market's like you came in too low. So I really use that metric to know where I am with my pricing. Hmm. And then
you're sending out pricing on, you're putting pricing out on that initial letter.
Yeah. Cause Kevin, look,
gotcha.
I can always make more money. I can't get more time. I don't want to be in the negotiating business. I'm not in the land appraisal business. Here's your offer.
Yeah.
Go.
Gotcha. Okay. So your team's doing a bunch of research before you actually even put that mailer out. I mean, they're diving into the comps and just trying to get a general idea of the current valuation of that property, and then you're utilizing that formula of 40 cents on a dollar, correct?
Yeah, exactly. All yeah, right. 25, 30 cents on the dollar.
Gotcha. What's the biggest risk with this business model? I guess actually, before you answer that question, let me back up. You know, how do these investments perform, or how did they perform, you know, in the Great Recession, 2008, 9, 10? Obviously, people cut costs, then they, you know, they take the unnecessary out of their daily, weekly, monthly budget. And although this was a dream for maybe some people, that $300 a month could be used for keeping their own roof over their head, not necessarily just a plot of land in a rural location. So what did the default rate look like back then during those trying times?
Yeah. So I actually write about this in Dirt Rich, shameless plug. And so in 2008, I was doing well. 2009, still doing well. It was 2010. Where I was getting those calls and those emails, hey, Mark, it's food or this land payment,
mm-hmm.
and I'm choosing food. So Kevin, I had a 50% default rate on my note portfolio. Now, the company was still profitable because, you know, I had bought right, but I had what I call Parkinson's law of money personally. So the more money I made, the more money I spent. Now I use a profit first system. I don't know if you had Mike McAllowitz on the show, mm-hmm. but that's actually kept me the past, 10 years or 11 years out of trouble with the cash flow and having that fiscal responsibility. But up until that point, I'd never had a down market because I started in 2000. So basically, it's still profitable, but you have to watch your cash flow. Mm-hmm. So in any market, essentially, at least that I know of, when we're going through our deal flow, depending on where we are in the market, if the market's hot, it's harder to buy, it's easy to sell. If the market has equilibrium, it's easy to buy, it's easy to sell. And then 2008, it was harder to sell, but we could buy all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're just killing it in this market because in an inflationary environment, people want raw land and they have jobs. So I'll really start to see a hit when people start losing their jobs and inflation starts coming back down, as it has.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I appreciate you sharing that. And I'm assuming you've got an outside servicing company that are servicing these notes for you, correct?
Well, I did. And then they upset me. I don't know if you ever watched the show Curb Your Enthusiasm?
No.
So Curb Your Enthusiasm, Larry David is the star of the show. And he goes to a coffee shop and he starts complaining to the coffee owner, hey, the coffee is cold and the seats are wobbly and all this stuff. And the guy kicks him out of the coffee shop. And so he starts a spite store and he calls it Latte Larry's. Well, I had the same issue with my note servicing company. So I started my own spite store called geekpay.io. And I hired a Silicon Valley developer and I don't recommend doing this, but I did it. And so now my own software services my own notes and I actually provide it to our community as well.
Got it. And so, you know, given you have a default, I mean, life happens whether we're in a recession or not to people. And ultimately, we'll probably never find ourselves in a situation where 100% of your notes pay on time all the time, right? And that, you know, inevitably there's going to be a challenge in someone's life and ultimately they're going to default. And so what is it an actual foreclosure process? I know state by state it varies, but are these things just kind of like a lease to own where you guys are holding the deed to the property and only transferring it once they make that final payment? How does that work?
Yeah, you're exactly right. So we use a land contract instead of a deed of trust. So there's no cost of foreclosure. So if they're in default, they have 30 days to cure. If they don't cure, we keep their down payment. We keep their monthly payments. It lowers our cost basis. We sell it again. We get a new down payment and we get a new monthly payment, which just extends out our ROI. Mm-hmm. So I don't mind defaults. That's why we don't do credit checks.
Got it. I was surprised you mentioned that Craigslist is still one of the big viable strategies on selling that property. I thought Craigslist had kind of fallen off the cliff.
it has. Yeah. It's not my first choice. I mean, if I could only, it always is changing. I bring it up because these things, it's, the marketing is constantly changing and platforms are constantly changing.
Yep.
But I'd say, my favorite two ways to sell are my buyer's list and landmodo.com.
Mm-hmm. And that buyer's list, so you find that you've got repeat clients that are looking for large tracts of land that are buying
absolutely
multiple. Really?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mark, what else haven't I, what haven't I asked you that you feel is of relevance here today regarding this business model?
Yeah. I mean, I think, if I'm listening to this, I might be skeptical, right? It's like, well, Mark, if it's so great, why are you teaching other people how to do it? And so the reason I like to address that is because, well, not only did my wife ask me that question when I first started teaching it, I had to actually go through the math of is this something to teach? So any investment banker or VC group will say, well, how big is the market? It turns out we have a massive market. There's billions of acres of land available in this country. And Kevin, I mean, I know mobile home park investing isn't that sexy. There's nothing like sexy about raw land investing. So like they'll never see HGTV or the DIY network flip this land. The before picture is raw land. The after picture is raw land. So, we have this massive market, this non-competitive niche that is just completely unloved because it's just so boring, right? Mm-hmm. All we're doing is shuffling paper and making money. So, you, me, a million people could be in this niche. We'll all run out of money before we run out of deal flow. And then you throw in the fact that it's so small in the sense that if our average transaction is only $5,000, it's too small for a private equity group or a hedge fund that needs to deploy $1 billion mm-hmm. into this niche. Like they want 8%, rural farmland, like typical billionaire does, or timberland. They can deploy that kind of capital.
So is the average deal size, is it in that $5,000 range?
It's about that $5,000 range for an individual parcel.
Yeah, I'm assuming you've had some students, or maybe you guys even personally with your own company. I mean, where you've come across like an actual fairly valuable tract of land that you've been able to pick up at a significant discount. Anything like that ever happened?
Yeah, I mean, we've done $1 million deals, but it's $1 million. It's not $1 billion.
Sure.
So we'll do development deals and we'll subdivide and put in the roads and infrastructure and do those types of deals as well. that takes significantly more capital, but again, not Kevin Butt money.
Funny guy, huh? So you have taken these down. You've taken them down and actually gone the development route as well. So that's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
What would you say the percentage of your business goes that path versus just the traditional selling on terms?
Well, I'm more of an anomaly. I mean, so I want to do more development deals because sure. I have the capital to do it.
So you might be marketing to larger, more valuable tracts of land, whereas students might not be.
My students are not, but I personally am.
Got it.
Yeah.
And you're still buying it at pennies on the dollar, correct?
It's still still buying it. It's still the same model.
Sure.
It's just deploying more capital in it. So even, you know, when you break down a $1 million subdivision or, you know, something like that, it's still when you know, per acre, it's still, you know, 25, 30 cents on the dollar.
And so giving that development model after you put the infrastructure in, are you turning around then and selling those individual lots on terms?
Exactly. So we'll sell the individual lots on terms. Absolutely.
Got it. In that scenario, I'm assuming, again, using that example, and maybe there's more than one example. If someone's going to, it's got well septic, if it's in a rural area, it's probably got well septic on each one of the lots, and maybe they're going to build a home there. They're going to bring a mobile in or something like that, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, we want to look for properties that don't have a lot of restrictions. So if they want to use it recreationally, they can. Mm-hmm. And if they want to build there, great. We just want to make sure that we're using the highest and best use for that area.
Sure. Mark, for those that want to learn more about you and everything you have going on, where's the best place to find you?
TheLandGeek.com. TheLandGeek.com.
Well, fantastic, buddy. It's been a lot of fun having you back here. I really appreciate you coming on again. I don't know how many years it's been, but it's been too many. So, but wishing you all the best and just keep doing what you're doing, my friend.
Kevin, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to interviewing you soon on Art of Passive Income podcast.
We need to talk about parking lots. You know, that's one thing we probably never talked about before.
Talked about parking lots, but that model, I mean, again, you know, it's just brilliant because no renters, no rehabs, mm-hmm. no renovations, no roads. I mean, I love what you're doing. And
they're not building more parking, really. They're really not, you know.
they're not building more parking, but it's you know, again, it's kind of same like raw land, right? Nobody wakes up and thinks to themselves, I want a piece of raw land today. In the same way, I don't think to myself, boy, I'm going to buy a parking spot today. But we all want it.
That's it.
Yeah,
I love the unsexy businesses, just like you. The niches, riches in the niches, right?
The riches in the niches. Yeah, I'm so excited to hear about this. I can't wait.
Well, you let me know, my friend. I'll come on anytime you'd like. And again, happy to have you back here anytime as well. Talk about land and guys. You know, for those that are listening in here, go check out thelandgeek.com. And again, Mark's podcast. Mark, plug that one more time as far as your podcast and also your book.
Oh, Art of Passive Income podcast. And then the book is Dirt Rich. And then Kevin, Dirt Rich 2 is coming out. The plot thickens, how to scale your land business.
Well, there we go. Fantastic, buddy. It's been a pleasure having you back.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. That's all we have for this week's show. And so until we meet again next week, this is your host, Kevin Mupp, wishing you huge success. Take care.
Congratulations. Now you've got more of the best tricks of the trade in building massive amounts of passive income from real estate. For more amazing resources, visit realestateinvestingforcashflow.com, and we'll see you next Monday morning.